Subscribe to the Snooze Alarm Survivor Podcast from Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, really anywhere podcasts are distributed.
Access denied.
Except Spotify.
You will respect my authority.
There was a time when I didn't care. Nothing mattered. I swear, there's something happened. I came alive, and I found you, and I found fire. That's why I never stopped.
Amen to that, Ted. Amen to that on this Ted Steve morning.
And I can't.
No, we can't. We can't stop because, like so many things, we gather on these mornings and you're already being faced with the demagoguery and the specter of the gun, and it's the gun's fault, and these young fellows would certainly never have done any of this if it wasn't for the gun. And it begins without removing from the necessary gravity of what happened again yesterday outside of the Altria Theater in Richmond, to feel like we're a broken record, broken record, broken record, broken record. And each one of these instances, especially when the narrative, it doesn't fit the "We've got to get these guns away from anyone who's not a sworn law enforcement officer," we'll quietly go away. We'll leave the headlines as quickly as they arrive there. Video footage shot by one of the Richmond school board members when they arrested the assailant, who quite a bit of time after the shooting began, was still nearby, enough so that Richmond police could take him into custody. And you say, well, was it gangs, Joe? Was it a love triangle? Was it bullying? Because all of these things begin with our inability to be a moral society. All of them. You join a gang to bully other people because of your immorality. You do violence against somebody because of an amorous relationship gone sour, because of immorality. You lash out against the bully because you haven't learned the morality of how to handle these situations, and certainly the bully is the bully because of immorality. And John Adams' words echo so loudly through the centuries. Our constitutional republic is only sufficient for a moral society. And since the early 80s, little by little, chip by chip, using discourageous elected officials, scared of their public notoriety being taken away from them, scared of the vox populi being turned by a media that wants to have an unearned importance in the town square, they began capitulating to the fascists who insisted that even mentioning religion even mentioning faith on anything that has anything to do with any government at all is a violation of some imaginary separation of church from state. Don't let me forget, the president has just launched a website so you can track all the places the federal government is spending your tax dollars on businesses. We need a separation of business from state, don't we? But under this narrative that any place, any display of faith, even on a publicly licensed broadcast facility such as this one, could be protested in the town square as a violation of our separation of church from state, our freedom from religion, which is also an imaginary part of the First Amendment. And I don't sit here trying to pretend that I'm qualified any more than any other lay person who believes in the Lutheran paradigm that you can read your scripture and understand your moralities on your own. But certainly estimable people like Mark DeLoach, pastor at Albemarle Baptist Church, or certainly even more so, the heavy lifting that's done by a Joe Veroxa at the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, better suited for this. And certainly he sees it day in and day out as he walks into jail cells with people like the shooter in Richmond and tries to save their souls. But if you're looking for a cause of this, of a shooting like what happened in Richmond yesterday or happens all across the country, what about the police officers in Utah that appear to have walked into a trap? These are all driven by the fruits of the tree planted in the 70s and 80s as we began to capitulate to appease those who didn't want to address the fact that they were amoral and didn't want to discuss intellectually honest debate on, you know, what would be the fruits of disconnecting people from simple rules like thou shalt not murder.
No need for any eccentric billionaire to buy this social media outlet, amplifying your comments every morning for 15 years. Joe Thomas in the Morning on WCHV.
I don't have any more words on this. I'm tired of seeing people get shot, our kids get shot, and I beg of the entire community to stop.
Yeah, and I was listening, and I was watching the coverage from my partners in Richmond, and they're grappling with it. And certainly acute, with a daughter that lives not far from where the shooting took place. But I thought that comment from the Richmond school superintendent was interesting, because he didn't say, go get the guns. He's begging people to stop. And maybe there's a glimmer of reality that's setting in. Because it certainly doesn't appear. And here we are 12 hours removed from the shooting. And you can usually tell these timelines by what you know and when, with a suspect already in custody. You would already have information regarding their background if they were some narrative that could be built off of their psych profile, who they were. But this fella who they have in custody appears to have a mysterious background. Drug gang related. He was older than the students. Was this just simply an act of terrorism done specifically to cause terror in a community? You'll find little bits and pieces out. And we will dig and we will continue to watch and find for those clues. But more importantly, when the Richmond school superintendent says that, he's at least admitting the fact that it's on the people, not on the firearm. We have the story of the City of Charlottesville employee that was brutally beaten with a baseball bat that nobody except this radio station covered. Why, I believe the public information officer was even surprised when I reached out and said, hey, is there any information of the brutal assault of a City of Charlottesville public housing worker, City of Charlottesville employee working in the public housing realm? And it was done with a baseball bat. Does Dick's Sporting Goods get hit with a protest march over the easy access of a Louisville slugger? No. How many knife attacks are there? How many domestic violence incidents are conducted with bats and frying pans and knives? Nary once a firearm, but because something like this happens, again, you'll get the gun-grabbing zealots who will stand there in front of a camera and say, we have to get these guns off the streets. But at least for once I heard, maybe out of just weariness, a public official in Richmond say, please stop. Calling out to the people. He wasn't asking the guns to stop. He was asking the people to stop shooting each other.
People get shot, our kids get shot, and I beg of the entire community to stop.
Not the gun community, the human community. In this email, Joe, a display of the Ten Commandments on a courthouse steps clearly violates the First Amendment. It is the establishment of a state religion. Well, not a lawyer, but after a certain amount of time, you've spent enough time with them, you kind of know how they think. So with a risk of being pedantic, Steve, let me throw this at you. Let me first read to you what the First Amendment says. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. So, without slicing the bologna very thin, if there is a courthouse, and this is how the Free Thought Society and Mary Margaret, whatever her name was, got into these courtrooms with Judge Roy Moore, etc., is that the courthouse in, say, Charlottesville receives federal money, therefore that federal money has to be allocated by Congress, so therefore having a plaque depicting the Ten Amendments, the Ten Commandments, and a wall that was partially or is partially maintained by monies allocated by Congress, therefore ipso facto and to wit is Congress making a law respecting an establishment of religion. Now, I'm again not a lawyer, but you know, if I had been in the courtroom, I would have said, "So, were you not permitted in the courtroom if you said I don't believe in that?"
When WCHV went on the air in 1933, banks were failing, investors were panicking, and the government started sending people money to calm them down. And here we are, ready to help you through it again.
Joe Thomas in the morning on this TEDS D morning. 434-964-1075 is the phone number. Emails coming to joe@wchv.com. So the display of the Ten Commandments violates the First Amendment. That was it? Margaret Downey was her name. I actually sat in the studio with Margaret Downey. She was the leader of the Free Thought Society. And that was my first inclination that if somebody says they're the Free Thought Society, there's a pretty good chance they're not about free thought. And they were the group that was pushing to have all the Ten Commandments taken down off the courthouse buildings back. I was running WCOJ radio in Westchester, Pennsylvania at the time, Coatesville. And so that was a year or two before you and I got together, and this was kind of the flashpoint of her battles in court with Judge Roy Moore in Alabama, and so keep the courthouse and the Ten Commandments there. So here we are now in the wake of, you know, 12 hours removed from a shooting in Richmond. And you'll, you know, guaranteed by the end of the morning news cycle, you will have plenty of people on TV saying, we need to get these guns. But maybe, just maybe, the clip of the school superintendent who was there, obviously, it was a Richmond high school, Huguenot High School.
I don't have any more words on this. I'm tired of seeing people get shot, our kids get shot, and I beg of the entire community to stop.
And I found it refreshing to not hear him say, we need to get these guns off. He was actually speaking to the people. Please stop being immoral. Not in so many words. But I wish that the constitutionalists had done a better job of defending the Ten Commandments. But the populist, discourageous elected officials chose appeasement as the Prime Minister of England had done many years prior. Certainly, as we are on the high side now of the 79th anniversary of the D-Day invasion at Normandy, Neville Chamberlain's appeasement, just like the appeasement of the elected officers who were afraid of being asked, well, isn't this a separation of... And for some reason, aside from rampant discourageousness, these elected officials, who I'm sure have far greater postgraduate studies, and certainly most of them in the law, would claim greater gravity than, you know, Queens College of New York broadcaster when it comes to understanding the law, the Constitution. But remember, the U.S. Constitution was written for people who didn't even have a high school diploma. Yes, it's a legal document, but it was written in a way that a farmer with no graduate education, we were still 50 to 100 years from establishing farmers' high schools like Penn State, which was established as the Pennsylvania Farmers High School. Was Virginia Polytechnic Institute land-granted in the same way? Curious about that, just random thought that hit me. But just simply displaying a list of commandments that say, you know, for the fear of eternal damnation, don't lie, don't murder. Even if you choose the thou shalt not kill, which I think actually weakens the point of it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make false idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I mean, these first three are all about humility and the combat of arrogance of the human mind that will at some point lead you into damnation. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Those were the two, by the way. Covet thy neighbor's wife and covet thy neighbor's property were the ones that got me in trouble with Margaret Downey from the Freethought Society, because her problem with the Ten Commandments weren't any of the actual commandments. And that's the part that really bothers me about the appeasement that all these politicians succumb to, is that Margaret Downey, when pressed by no greater intellect than me, admitted on the air at 1420 WCOJ in Coatesville in Westchester, Pennsylvania, that her campaign against the Ten Commandments had nothing to do with any of the Ten Commandments. It had to do with feminism. It had to do with the fact that in her mind, these were written by a misogynist society where women were considered property. And again, I don't insert myself in the pantheon of our dear friends, our Mount Rushmore of theocratic leaders in this community, in my community, but Mark DeLoach at Albemarle Baptist Church, probably much better qualified to dissect this than me. John Quisenberry, Charlottesville House of Prayer, and certainly Joe Veroxa, the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, any one of them. But goodness gracious, I looked at Margaret Downey from across the counter in the basement of the Merrill Lynch building in downtown Westchester, and I said, well, hold on a second here. If women were property, then why do we have the covet thy neighbor's wife separate than covet thy neighbor's property? And she stormed out. But the whole debasement of our society wasn't even based on the fact that they had any problems with any of the actual commandments. We had to become a secular society simply because at the time, what we call now women's suffrage didn't exist. So how many women lost their husband or child yesterday? The police shootings in Utah or the graduation shootings in Richmond or any number of other instances. How many mothers' children came home broken in pieces from the University of Virginia Hospital because somebody took a baseball bat to them at the Avon Street garage before they headed out to manage the public housing in Charlottesville? Yeah, I know Wes Bellamy is technically their boss, but I'm not here just to bash people. I'm here to, point to the right answers. And there's nothing in our First Amendments that says you can't know those Ten Commandments. Unless you see it differently. Maybe you agree with Margaret Downey and the Free Thought Society. That because, whatever we call women's suffrage today, and certainly in the light of the transgender movement, that's a questionable thing. Where's feminism today? It's apparently practicing the same appeasement.
We have been around for almost 90 years, and not a sign of any slowing down.
There is nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured by
WCHV.
What is right with America?
So yeah, I want to pivot off because there's so much other stuff going on here, but obviously the headlines dominated, and you will be confronted again with the demagoguery, with the gun grabbing, with the fear mongering there, and just in another attempt to give you the tools necessary to blunt this. Displaying the Ten Commandments again, saying that kids can pray in church but don't, or in school but don't have to. That's not a violation of the First Amendment. That's not telling kids they have to have church. We will display transgender how-to guides, but not the Ten Commandments in our schools. And you wonder how we get to a place where somebody pulls up in front of the Altria Theater and just starts opening fire into a crowd of people. And believe me, there's a message in this. There's a message that this shooter was trying to send, whether it was specifically targeted to Huguenot, the community, the neighborhood around Huguenot. But somebody had a message delivered to them yesterday, and there are dead bodies attached to it. And you can shrug and say it's settling a beef, but that beef happens to be over drug gang territory. And what is the point to where the public needs to know? I've been told that the Charlottesville police, for example, are well aware of the drug gangs. But is there a necessity for the public to be scared by people like me on the radio saying it's drug gangs running amok in the streets? I don't know. It was people like me talking about drug gangs that led to the National Night Out campaign, which, being pedantic again for a moment, I will remind you, didn't take place at a county park or a shopping center parking lot at first. This was a campaign designed to take back the worst neighborhoods in our cities by taking the streets back, literally having street fairs in some of the worst neighborhoods of Baltimore and New York, and yes, even Charlottesville, Nancy. But now we've decided, you know what, let's go have the national night out at a public park. It's just like busing was. Busing was, hey, kid, your neighborhood sucks, so we're going to put you on a city bus or a school bus and drive you to somebody else's neighborhood to go to school because they have it better than you. Patently racist, patently tribalist. Don't fix your own neighborhood. Just get the hell out. The national night out's fallen prey to the same thing. Don't try to take back your streets. Get away from them. But when we forget our humility and our humbleness, that we're supposed to understand that my rights have no dominion over you, and that my enjoyment of my life has to stop when it impedes the happiness and the pursuit thereof in your life. And that's built off of rules like thou shalt not murder. Seems pretty straightforward. And it's also a reminder to us here on the high side of 2023 that 5,000 years ago, apparently there was a problem with people murdering each other. And I will remind you that if you do some math, that was long before guns were invented. So apparently it's been possible that we murder each other with other implements than just a firearm. So let's have an honest conversation. Let's pick up on what the school superintendent, who I'm sure will issue a retraction of his statement. I don't know if Jeff Katz or John Reed, you know, two of my fellows, I was spent the weekend with Jeff Katz, pick up on this. But if they report on it, I'm sure they'll push him out in front of a podium to say, no, I meant, please stop getting guns. That's what I meant. He'll be made to get right with the new think. He'll be taken to room 412 and, you know, re-educated. We get to you before we have to head to the news. Good morning. Who's this?
Morning, Joe. Mason, how are you?
Good, Mason. How are you doing this Ted's D morning?
Oh, man. Getting ready to go hold a sign again.
How is your corner working out there in Bel Air?
It is extremely good. But Monday, I had to call the police.
Uh-oh.
Got a warrant on a woman. Today, I'll be going to back over to the magistrate to get a warrant on a guy for yesterday.
What happened?
Well, let's see. Both of them didn't like my signs.
Okay.
And the woman comes up behind me, and she comes around with her camera on, and she's giving me my mother this and my children this and I'm this.
Oh.
And she went on for a couple of minutes.
And she was recording this with her camera?
She has her camera up. I guess she has it on record. And I'm standing, being 99% quiet. And then when she walks behind me, I said one word, and she couldn't take it. And she came back, and she kicked my cooler, put a hole in my cooler, and my stuff went flying. And the police come, and she splits before the police get there.
Of course.
But a person got her license plate number, and her description and the plate number matched, so the magistrate gave me a warrant for destruction of property.
Okay, so then what happened to the fella? What happened with him yesterday?
Well, the fella goes by as qualified redneck as there ever is, and he says, I'm going to key your car. I said, what? And I gave him a little grief back, and he pulled up behind me, and I didn't give him too much grief, but I gave him a little bit, and so I put that to the police, and you can't threaten to do damage to somebody.
No, you know, threats are on the books as a criminal assault. It's a verbal assault on you.
So what did the sign say? Well, for the girl, it was Joe and Hunter Biden bribe taking caught on laptop.
Okay, she didn't like that.
She didn't like that a bit. And the fellow yesterday was, woke detoxing is needed.
And he didn't like that one either. Maybe he just didn't like the detox part. Maybe he's been to Happy Acres to clean up a little bit. I don't know. But
I'm not sure if he even understood what it said. But anyhow,
well, hang in there, brother, and good luck today and finding the young lady. And I'd be great to see her video shoot and to subpoena that. That'd be interesting to see.
Oh, they say they know where she is, and they can deliver a warrant.
Oh.
And this fellow will. I'll work on that later today, getting the warrant on him.
Well, you have a good morning, sir.
Well, I'm having a good one. Woo!
Central Virginia's source for full coverage of the 2023 General Assembly. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV, AM and FM, Charlottesville.
Mostly sunny skies, but remaining very hazy throughout the day today. Highs will climb into the lower 80s.
62 degrees, AJ outside of the automated office system studios at 6 a.m. And from